We're talking about the Allies briefings, and we're talking with Marshall Summers on the line from Boulder, Colorado. Marshall, before we get to the transgenic beings again and how they were engineered specifically, have you thought about why you were contacted?
Well, I've been in the process of receiving a large body of work that has to do in large part with our future in space, or what's termed the greater community of intelligent life. And apparently, in the 25 years I've received these volumes, and over 20 volumes, seven of which are now in international distribution, the volumes Greater Community Spirituality, Wisdom from the Greater Community, Steps to Knowledge, all deal with, in part, preparation for humanity's future within this greater community, as well as the kind of great ways of change we're going to have to deal with within our own world. The great ways of change, in this case, being environmental decline, resource depletion, global warming, all the immense problems that these converging phenomena will likely create for the human family. And so I have been receiving this large body of work, and it comes from a spiritual and divine source, whereas the Allies briefings come from an extraterrestrial, a physical source. But I think what the Allies briefings are doing is giving us a missing piece of the picture, because even if we have a very high spiritual contact, there are certain kinds of visceral realities in our local universe that we need to know about. And if you can learn that from someone who's living there, it can be very valuable. That's why when people ask, well, how can I believe these Allies of Humanity briefings are true or real? And I say, well, you can't really prove or disprove their source, but if you read them and you resonate with just the core wisdom of what they're talking about, then you see the compassion with which these things are being communicated, the respect that's being given to us as a hopefully free people in the universe, or potentially free people in the universe. And the intention, I think, with the briefings is to have more free nations in their environment, because apparently our local environment is very well inhabited. And, you know, there's many dangerous forces. I mean, we're like a child in the big city, you might say.
So in other words, this particular group, conglomeration of people interested in corporate, use of our assets as a world and as a humanity, they are really kind of relying on us to acquiesce, aren't they?
Well, the intervention certainly is. It's not a military force. It's a relatively small expeditionary force of different races of beings working in concert with each other. I mean, how can you take control of a world without inciting revolution, without damaging the precious biological resources, or damaging the property, you might say? Well, what that does require, then, is a kind of long-range genetic program. And there are four, the briefings describe that there are four different activities of the intervention. If you'd like, we can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'd like to know about that.
These are all interrelated. The first is engaging individuals in positions of power. And this is not only engagement through perhaps direct contact, and I have no doubt there has been some direct contact, but also through the agents of your transgenic being, who, given their skills and insight, could probably gain the ear of some very powerful people. That's one aspect. The other another aspect is affecting our religious beliefs and impulses. And if you look at the history of religious thought in the last 60 years, particularly in the West, in affluent countries, you'll see that there's an important phenomenon of pacification going on, where now you have young people going around and thinking that whatever happens to them is the right thing to happen, and we should trust whatever life puts in front of us, and things like this that never existed before. I mean, it runs counter to our innate sense, common sense, and our natural instincts. So we've been sort of dumbed down by many different forces, but we're very unsuspecting. And when you look at how people respond to the realization that there is an extraterrestrial presence in the world, you'll see that for many people there's a tremendous lack of critical discernment. I mean, it's just a desire to believe or desire to accept. That's our own human nature. Okay, and I think our human nature is really being taken advantage of and exploited for the benefit of those who are visiting in our world, who are acting here without our permission. We have not established the rules of engagement, and we're sort of the witless observers of an immense array of activities that are happening to our world. on in alien bases, and you know, where are all these ships landing? We see them flying around all over the world, but where are they landing? I mean, they're not. Presumably, there are bases in the world, and the briefings do talk about that. And of course, the fourth, which is the most, probably the darkest aspect of the whole thing, is the abduction and genetic engineering for a new leadership for humanity. And that's the part, I think, that is really hard for people to deal with psychologically, and certainly for people who've had abduction experiences, it can be a very painful, traumatic subject. I think, though, that it really, this fourth aspect of abduction and genetic splicing and all this, is, really should dismiss any notion we have that these visitors are here for our benefit.
How long has this program been going on, you think?
Well, the abduction program is probably, its initial research has probably started some time ago, but certainly it's come into earnest with the development of nuclear weapons and with a global infrastructure. I think that in the second briefing, set of briefings, the Allies mentioned that the intervention has to happen now because we have this infrastructure, and also it has to take place before we gain too much technological power. If we become so powerful that we can be a serious deterrent to an intervention of this kind, then intervention would have to be attempted under entirely different circumstances.
Well, maybe let me rephrase this a different way, Marshall. Do you get a hint that there is a military presence with these people as well, and they're just not using it?
No, according to the briefings, and they make a big point out of this, that these are not military forces. They are commercial forces. And now, certainly they have a security function within them. I'm not saying that they can't defend themselves, but they're not here threatening us militarily. And this is a very important point, because many people dismiss the notion that the extraterrestrials have a maligning intention by saying, well, if they wanted to destroy us, they would have destroyed us, and since they haven't destroyed us, they must be here for beneficial purposes. But that's a very naive and limited way of looking at this. I mean, when you look at in our own world, in our human encounters, I mean, the conquistadors of today carry briefcases and cell phones. Mm-hmm. Peoples are overtaken as much as possible without the use of direct force. I mean, force is a last resort, perhaps. And when you think...
Yeah, you hear the term about, we took the place without firing a shot.
Exactly. And so an intelligent race is not going to use force. And it's interesting that the briefings indicate that in this part of our galaxy, at least, I mean, war is actually very rare, outright war, as we know it. But we still are rather primitive, I think, and still think in terms of conquest by use of force. But that is not how this intervention is proceeding, nor is it really equipped to use those kinds of...
Well, the question arises, at least with me, Marshall, is what were these people that had to get all of this information to you, these entities, in the 24 hours, so because they had to get the heck out of there? What were they fearing? Were they fearing takeover militarily, or being captured, or
retribution from the intervention?
I mean, what kind of retribution would they be?
If a nation in this world found out that you had gained all of its secrets and you publicly came out with them, I mean, your life would be imperiled. And so I think the intervention has been exposed, particularly beginning with the first set of the Allies of Humanity briefings. And
so basically the people that gave you the Allies of Humanity, as you refer to them, do you think they're a minority?
Well, they're a very small, they're a group of just a few individuals who are acting as observers, but they're representing their own world, which seek to remain anonymous in this whole affair. So in that case, they're acting...
In other words, you're saying this is more like a galactic counterintelligence operation.
In this case, the briefings say, you know, this is a set of free nations, one not wanting to see us become dominated by commercial forces, become a client state.
So how do we stop it?
Okay, there are basically seven things that the Allies talk about, and that my work in Greater Community Spirituality talks about. Because this is, of course, an important... This is where we're left. I mean, if we can entertain this reality, we have to look at what we can begin to do today. And I think, ultimately, what this would require of humanity is quite immense and would require the talents and expertise of many people. But as a starting point, we have to gain awareness and education. We have to understand what we're dealing with in the most simple and prosaic manner. I've been talking in in my presentations recently on this subject, that we need to consider that we're the native peoples of this world fundamentally. And we're dealing with first encounters, and history and nature has taught us that first encounters were always to the detriment of the natives. And there are certain basic reasons why this is the case. And one of them is the natives did not understand the nature and intentions of those who were intervening in their world or in their land. There's been a very interesting document that's been created called the Declaration of Human Sovereignty, and it can be viewed at www.humansovereignty.org. And it's a beginning statement, a working document based upon the Declaration of Independence of the United States to establish our own rules of engagement, what we as the peoples of this world will and will not allow in terms of visitation to our world. It's a beginning document, but I think we have to build some kind of awareness, because many of the people that I have spoken to and have come to ask me questions in my presentations and media interviews and so forth, I've had to take an about face in the face of the Allies briefings in terms of the way that they're considering who these extraterrestrials are and why they're here. And many people are in sort of a romantic phase with the whole idea of contact, thinking that this is going to be of immense benefit to humanity and we're going to be given advanced technology and shown how to live in peace and these are spiritual beings and so forth. And there's really nothing. There's really so little evidence to support that. And I think if you look at the history of intervention, you have to say, well, we have to deal with this extremely cautiously. And an extraterrestrial presence would have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt their intentions are beneficial for us. And certainly that has not been the case. That is not how they're behaving in our world today. So the first point is awareness and education. And that's what we're doing right now. And that's, I think, why the...
So in other words, that really is your mission.
That is part of my mission.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll get to the rest of the mission when we come right back. We're talking with Marshall Summers. And, of course, The Allies of Humanity, Book 1 and Book 2. We'll be back.
Major sighting here.
On the 13th of March, weird happenings in the skies over Phoenix recently. And no one seems to be able to explain what it was.
And now, suddenly six amber orbs in a row, totally equidistant from each other, massive span across, pop up.
People say they saw strange lights.
There is a strange bright light seen over the skies of Arizona. It gets a lot of people wondering.
There are another 10,000 Arizonans who saw the same thing.
Eyewitnesses who saw it say it's like nothing they've ever seen before.
Last night, shortly after 8 p.m., hundreds, maybe thousands of Arizonans reported seeing a triangular-shaped object with three to
thousands of people saw more than stars in the night sky.
The mystery remains unsolved and controversial.
There was nothing new.
Winning documentary by Dr. Lynn Kita. The Phoenix Lights is now available from ShopJerryPippin.com. Order now. Supplies limited. Marshall Summers is on the line with us from Colorado. Marshall, we went to the break. You were laying out seven principles or things we need to be doing. And we talked about number one, and you said that was just part of the picture.
Well, the first one is certainly we have to gain an awareness and education about what we're dealing with, and we have to deal with this in the most prosaic, common sense manner we can. We can't come to this just as scientists or theologians. We have to deal with this as the native people, observing first encounter with a determined set of individuals or sets of groups, because there is more than one group in the world today. The second thing that needs to happen that I'm involved is learning about the greater community in which we live. The greater community means this larger environment that is full of intelligent life. I mean, what is life like? And how do beings and nations interact with each other beyond our borders? And certainly, we're all still stuck here on the ground, so we don't get to go out into space and have these first-hand experiences. So I think the Allies briefings gives us a window into the nature of reality with intelligent life in our local universe, and the relations between, and the relations, strengths and restraints that exist between advanced races that travel in space. The third thing that we need to look at and really promote is promoting human freedom and sovereignty in this world. I mean, we are in a position where we could lose those two things by a very small, dedicated group. And people are often amazed when they hear that, but when you read the history of intervention, for instance, colonial periods, I mean, large numbers of people were overtaken by extremely small groups of intervening nations, and they largely capitulated. conflated because of their ignorance and because they couldn't recognize the reality of the contact they were experiencing. And in that sense, our world could be overtaken without firing a shot.
We're going to follow that up after you finish the ticking these things off, because that leads me to the question I still have about the transgenic beings. It seems to me they probably themselves are not aware that they're fulfilling the program.
Well, like people who work for large corporations, I mean, that knowledge is all compartmentalized probably, and if we use large corporations as a model or some kind of reference point, we can see that people are doing all kinds of things without really understanding.
The total picture, right. Okay, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
So that is fine. So we have protecting human freedom and sovereignty, and then we have to exploit the intervention's weaknesses. And interesting that this is a piece of the pie that I think we just couldn't get unless we had some kind of outside source telling us, is what is the weakness of this intervention? Why? What restrains it? What endangers it? And it's interesting that because the intervention is relying upon human acquiescence and cooperation, the thing that endangers it is human protest. And this is the interesting thing that the briefings present, which was very new to me, was that outright conquest is not allowed in our galactic neighborhood.
Really?
It's not allowed. You can't just march in and just take a world by force. The only way that you can gain presence and ascendancy in another world is by at least the appearance of that world agreeing to your presence. In other words, if you make it look like you're welcome where you are, and then enough people are applauding your presence, then basically you can get around this fundamental rule, and this rule is established in terms of trade, because to have a peaceful trading environment, you can't have nations going and blowing each other up.
So basically you're saying the capitalist system is intergalactic.
Well, in this sense, it's just for practical purposes. Uh-huh. For instance, today, you know, our country, the United States, or any country, can't just go and just invade another country and take it over without immense consequences, as we're finding out
sure.
in Iraq. You just can't do that. That creates a lot of negative feedback.
So in other words, this rule probably was not developed because of spiritualism or moral values, but just a straightforward commercial aspect. It's not the best way to do things.
I mean, you just have to have rules of participating if you're going to do business in this neighborhood that we live in. And apparently we live in a really well-inhabited neighborhood.
So in other words, you know, to have your way with someone, you have to court them a little bit.
You have to court them, and you have to create a point of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
All of them, certainly most people in the world today, are not walking around today thinking about extraterrestrials. But for those with whom you have contact, the persuasion that's brought to bear on these people and the exploitation of their expectations is just immense. And so the way you counteract that is by bringing in a very prosaic and very sort of natural approach to dealing with first encounters, which must be extremely cautionary and must really call upon our own innate wisdom. And one of the examples that I give often is, I mean, most people would not want someone prowling around their house at night whose identity was unknown, somebody who had gained entry into their personal domain and were wandering around doing things that were unexplained. And I think that kind of rule of the home is the kind of ethic we need to bring to our entire planet by the peoples of this world, in such that it's demanded and communicated out into space as to whoever is watching us or listening to us and whoever else is watching the intervention taking place, that we will not be fooled with. We will not be treated in this way. And that is something that any sovereign people have to do, is to establish their rights and boundaries, which is not something we have done in our world regarding extraterrestrial contact.
Marshall, thanks for an intriguing hour, for sure. It was indeed a pleasure talking with you. I think it's best to close, folks, with a passage from Marshall Summers' book, Allies of Humanity. The visitors will try and create the impression that they are the allies of humanity. They will say they are here to save humanity from itself, that only they can offer the great hope that humanity cannot provide for itself, that only they can establish true order and harmony in the world. But this order and this harmony will be theirs, not yours. And the freedom that they promise will not be yours to enjoy. Allies of Humanity in 2 volumes available. Once again, thanks Marshall Summers for being a great guest. Jane Swartley was our producer and production editor. The executive producer of this series, of course, is Larry Decker. Until next time, this is Jerry Pippin. Thanks for listening. Cheers.